insofar as his insofar as his whole life is guided, insofar as he guides his life. Okay. Yeah. So there, that's the position of Yahadus. That's the position of Yahadus. That position is stated most clearly. I mentioned last time in the Shir HaKavod. Because in the Shir HaKavod, what do you say? In the Shir HaKavod, you say the following: Asapra chavod chavalori isicho, adamcho achancho. I say kinuyim demyonos v'lo yedaticho, but I don't know God. Okay. Then you say him, she, him, Dimu oscha v'lo kfi yeshcha. Dimu oscha. Okay, they gave analogies. V'lo kfi yeshcha, but it's not really you. It's not really your essence. Vayashvucha l'fi masecha. Okay, vayashvucha, it means the knowledge of God, they gained knowledge of you through your masa. Vayashvucha l'fi masecha. They evaluated you, so to speak. They gained an understanding of God on some level. On some level, vayashvucha l'fi masecha, according to Masa Hashem. Okay. That's really what the Shir HaKavod is saying. The Shir HaKavod, the whole Shir, beautiful Shir. It's the... It goes back to the time of the Rishonim. Actually, Ashkenazic Rishonim. It's from Germany. So the Shir HaKavod, that's exactly what the Shir HaKavod says. That even though Adamcho Achancho V'lo Yidaticho, but that doesn't mean that I can't gain any knowledge of God. Vayashvucho L'fi Ma'asecho. Okay? So, and also, I mean, the Shir is tied, interesting, the Shir is tied two things. There's two themes in the Shir. One theme in the Shir is this theme, and the underlying theme of the Shir is Avas Hashem. Anem Zmir Shir Ki Elecha Nafshi Sa'aro. Means that man is drawn to God, and in being drawn to God, he wants to use his mind in order to understand God. He knows he can never really understand God, but at the same time, he can approach God, gain a greater understanding than he had before. And this understanding is tied to the whole ki elecha nafshi sarog. Without this, there is no elecha nafshi sarog. It means that he's not drawn to God without the knowledge. So really, it's avas Hashem and yedias Hashem. That's the whole Shir HaKavod. Yedias Hashem and avas Hashem. So the concept, the idea that the author of the Shir HaKavod wanted to convey is precisely the same idea, namely that ultimately we cannot know God, but at the same time we cannot refrain from approaching God through knowledge that we can gain on our level, that is possible for us to gain, like the Rambam says. Was Lashon Rambam over there? He says that that Avraham Avinu explained it. He explained the idea. Rambam says, everybody according to his level. Is that Lashon over there? He says, kfi data. Very important that he should have as much knowledge as he can on his level. That's an objective. That's the only thing that's objective. The only thing that's objective is that every person must engage in the pursuit of this knowledge insofar as he's capable. Okay. And the gain is invaluable, and ultimately that's the whole knowledge of man. That's the whole knowledge of man. Yeah. So that premise is the first premise we said that must be ascertained. Namely, the premise that insofar as is possible when man studies God, and insofar as is possible, Vayashvucha l'fi ma'asecha is something. is something. Okay. So midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, while it's not the ultimate knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it represents a distance, because it shows you that really there's Achdus Hashem, and you can't study the Achdus. You know the Achdus, but you're studying elements, Maaseh Hashem. You're studying the attributes, So the attributes is a distance, because it means you can't really know the essence. So you can only know the attributes. So you study the attributes. You know the idea of Achdus, but you can't perceive directly the Achdus Hashem. An interesting thing. So the study is always in terms of the attribute. Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Now that's the first step. This is the first premise necessary in order to answer the question that we raised. Okay.
Yeah. Just give me a second. Let's go back to the project.
Just give me a second. Okay. Right. Now let's just go to the end of the Mar Nevuchim. All right, and I think that if we understand the end of the Mar Nevuchim, that's where he really goes into the Ma'afato, right at the end. So what I want to do is just explain what the Rambam is doing here, and I think through explaining what the Rambam is doing here, we'll have an understanding of the Shitas Yadas, which really gives a very, very unique definition, a unique answer to Plato's question of what is justice. And we have our own answer, different answer. Okay. Yeah. See, the Rambam in the end, what the Rambam does is first. The very end of the Rambam. It's the last page. I mean, it's the last few paragraphs. Okay, where the Rambam talks about, the Rambam right at the end talks about the four different kinds of perfection. Okay? And then he says that the ultimate perfection for man is knowledge. Alright? He says the last kind of perfection, that's the fourth kind of perfection, is the true perfection of man. The possession of the highest intellectual faculties. The possession of such notions which lead to true metaphysical opinions as regards God. With this perfection, man has obtained his final object. It gives him true human perfection. It remains to him alone. It gives him immortality. And on its account, he is called man. In other words, the ultimate perfection of man is in his ideas, The difference between one man and another man, according to the Rambam, the difference between one man and another man is only the difference in the ideas of the mind of one individual and another individual. That's the difference between one man and another man. That's the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha, or a great navi and a smaller navi. The difference between people, the difference in man is one thing. The ideas that the person has in their mind. That is the only differentiation. Because that's the essence of man. And the ultimate perfection is attained by an individual when he has accurate ideas concerning God, the ultimate existence. The Yesod HaYesodos. Okay, the Yesod HaYesodos. The Sheyesham Motzi Rishon Mamtzi Kol Nimtza. And so far as he understands the Motzi Rishon Mamtzi Kol Nimtza, that is how he, what his value is. What his value is. Okay, that's the Rambam says, the fourth perfection. Now the Rambam continues and he says that Okay, I'm going to leave out the next part where he talks about what is yours and what is not yours. That's a separate thing. Okay, and we'll pick that up another time. Ram continues like this. He says, the prophets have likewise explained unto us these things and have expressed the same opinion on them as the philosophers. This idea that the Ram says that up to this point, the philosophers came to that conclusion. Okay? The great philosophers, the true philosophers, came to that conclusion. And the Rambam says, the Nevi'im also came to the same conclusion. They endorsed the idea of the philosophers. He says, the prophets have likewise explained to us these things and have expressed the same opinion on them as the philosophers. He says, they say distinctly that perfection in property and health and character is not a perfection worthy to be sought as a cause of pride and glory for us, but that the knowledge of God, true wisdom in other words, is the only perfection which we should seek and in which we should glorify ourselves. Which means, glorify means that you recognize that you did the correct thing. Okay? And he quotes the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Okay? In Yirmiyahu 9. He says, Al yisal al hachacham bechachmaso, let not the mighty glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me. So he says, okay, then the Ram goes on side point, but then he comes back. He says, our sages, okay, Haskel v'Yadoasi, that's what Yirmiyahu is saying. Yirmiyahu is saying the same thing. He's endorsing the position of the philosophers, that the ultimate, that man's, the essence of man is his knowledge. The essence of knowledge is the knowledge of God. So therefore, the essence of man is the knowledge of God. Okay? Now he says like this. He says, our sages have likewise derived from this passage the above-mentioned lessons. And he goes on, he says like this. He says, the religious acts that are prescribed in the law, in the Torah in other words, the various kinds of worship and the moral principles which benefit all people in their social intercourse with each other do not constitute the ultimate aim of man. The mitzvahs themselves do not constitute the ultimate aim of man. Nor can they be compared to it, the Rambam says. Can't even compare it to it. In other words, shmiras ha-mitzvahs and Yediyas Hashem, you cannot compare Shemiras HaMitzvahs to Yediyas Hashem. It's incomparable. Why? For they are but preparations leading to it. Because the Shemiras HaMitzvahs are only preparations. But it's not it. So you cannot compare preparations to an essence of something. There's no comparison. It's two different things. If a person prepares for an event, the preparation has nothing to do with the event. The preparation is a different type of activity. So the Rambam says the same thing is true with the Shemiras HaMitzvahs. Shemiras HaMitzvahs is just the preparation for the ultimate state of what? Of Yediyas Hashem. So you cannot compare mitzvahs to perfection. That's what the Rambam stresses. That there is no comparison. So a person who is Shomer Torah Mitzvahs and a person who has Yediyas Hashem, there's no comparison between these two people. One is doing preparations and one is involved in the essence, in that which is essential. Okay? That's what the Rambam say. There's no comparison. Okay. Well, listen carefully. Now he says like this. Now the Rambam says, I guess maybe the Rambam was afraid to think this is his own opinion only. He says, hear the opinion of our sages on this subject in their own words. The passage occurs in Bereishis Rabbah and runs as follows. In one case, the Pasuk says, and all things that are desirable are not to be compared to her. Okay, it's a Pasuk in Mishlei. Okay? That's in Mishlei Gimel 11. And in another place it says, and all things that you desire are not to be compared to her. So one pasuk of Mishlei says, all things that are desirable cannot be compared to her. And another case says all things that you desire cannot be compared to her. So Chazal say, by things that are desirable, what does it mean things are desirable? The performance of divine precepts and good deeds is to be understood. Which means to say, Shmir Samet, by things that you desire refers to precious stones and pearls. Okay? So he says like this, both things that are desirable, which means Shmir Samitzvahs, okay, and things that you desire, in other words, mundane things that people value, treasures, cannot be compared to wisdom. But in this let him that glorieth glory, he that understandeth and knoweth me. That's what Chazal said. Okay. He says, consider how concise the saying is and how perfect its author. Now nothing is here omitted of all that we have put forth after lengthy explanation and preliminary remarks. Okay. So he says, that Chazal, just cryptically and quickly by that little statement that Chazal made, that what is Chafotzeho, Kol Chafotzeho, and what is the Lashon HaPasuk? What is Chafotzeho is one, and Chafetzim, and Chafetzim, Chafotzeho and Chafetzim. And those are how Chazal, by pointing out what is Chafotzeho and what is Chafetzim, how they told you this idea, they gave you that idea. They said that when Shlomo HaMelech is saying, he's using those two words, you see, he is telling you something. He's telling you that pearls and jewels and everything that you consider to be valuable can't be compared to her, but also even those desirable things objectively, namely the mitzvahs, also can't be compared to her. Okay, which means Yedias Hashem. And they quote the Pasuk from Yirmiyahu. Okay? So you see O Chazal quickly, very briefly, pointed out this idea, and you see how Shlomo HaMelech, with just a little change of a word, alluded to this idea. Okay, that's what the Rambam. That's what the Rambam says. Okay. So far, the Rambam is simply showing that the idea of the philosophers is endorsed by the Navi. That idea is not what common people think, the way common people think. And it's endorsed by the Navi, and it's pointed out by Chazal. Okay. That's Yedias Hashem. Okay. But now the Rambam takes a turn. Now the Rambam's like this. He says, that pasuk in Yirmiyahu, you see, contains a very sublime idea. That's the idea that all the philosophers came to after all their work and all their investigation. They came to this idea, and the Navi sums it up in one pasuk. Kien bezos yishal ha-mishal haskel v'yadoasi. But now the Rambam says, but let's take a look at the Navi. The Navi didn't stop there. The Navi didn't stop where the philosophers stopped. And that's the difference between knowledge that can be gained through intellectual investigation alone, and knowledge that can be gained via the medium of Nevoah. And the Rambam says, you take a look at the Navi, but the Navi went one step further. There's a twist in the pasuk over here. Okay, the Navi didn't stop where the philosopher stopped. The Rambam goes on to read this. Having stated the sublime ideas contained in the scriptural passage, he says, we will now complete what the remainder of that passage teaches us. This is the end of the mark. The prophet does not content himself with explaining that the knowledge of God is the highest kind of perfection. At first, it looks like he's saying the same thing as the philosophers. He'd be happy with that. That's it. No. The Rambam says, no, he went on. For if this only had been his intention, he would have said, but in this let him who glorieth glory, he that understandeth and knoweth me. And would have stopped there. Okay? Fine. He says, however, that man can only glory in the knowledge of God and the knowledge of his ways and attributes, which are his actions, as we have shown in expounding the passage. Show me now thy ways, Hadini Nos Drachecha, Moshe Rabbeinu's request. We are thus told in this passage that the divine acts which ought to be known and ought to serve as a guide for our actions are Chesed, loving kindness, mishpat, judgment, and tzedakah, righteousness. Okay? Another very important lesson is taught by the additional phrase, in the earth, and implies a fundamental principle of the law. It rejects the theory of those who boldly assert that God's providence does not extend to our earth, that the Lord hath forsaken the earth. It teaches, as has been taught by the greatest of all wise men in the words, the earth is the Lord's. That's Mashmeh Set the Par, right? Lamon Tedekil Hashem Arts. And his providence extends, that's what it meant. What does it mean, Hashem Arts? It means his Ashgacha extends to the earth. Because the Egyptians believed in a god, they believed in a super god, one god, but they thought this god does not extend to this earth. And that's why they had the sub-deities were the ones that in their minds, they were the ones that had powers on this earth. And that's why, even though they believed in one God, but they worshipped the sub-deities, they never really had much to do with the one God. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, L'man teda ki l'arishem ha'aretz, that there are no sub-deities, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ba'atzmo, is the one whose jurisdiction extends to this earth. That was what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to Paul. L'man teda ki l'arishem ha'aretz. He was telling him an important philosophical principle. Now he says like this. He says, this is expressed in the words that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things, ki be'eloch hafatzti no mashem, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. In other words, my object in saying this is that you shall practice chesed, mishpat, and tzedakah in the earth. Okay? In a similar manner, the Rambam says that's the whole purpose of enumerating the Yigimel Ikarim, just like he says over here. Yigimel Midos, right. Just like the Rambam says over here. Okay. So what is this idea that the Rambam is saying over here? What the Rambam is saying is as follows. The Navi went further than the philosophers. And the Navi, in going further than the philosophers, taught us an interesting principle, a very interesting principle. See, the idea of justice is something which intrigues a person. What is justice? Because justice is not something you could see with your eyes, and justice is something which man senses. It's almost like he senses equality. He senses, he has a sense for mathematics. He has a sense that there's such a thing as justice. What is justice? So basically, it seems to me there are three. There are two ideas of justice before the Navi. One idea of justice is a simplistic idea. That God says to do this, and whatever he says, because he says it, is just. And if you violate that, so then you're opening yourself up to punishment. Okay. That's a simple, simplistic notion of justice. Of course, that notion of justice doesn't explain justice, because it doesn't say why things are just. You just say, well, God said it's just. So does that mean that God capriciously said it's just, and that's why it becomes just? Or does God say it's just because there is a true idea of justice? So it really begs the question. It doesn't answer the question.
Is there one in the dialogue?
One second. No. This is just simple sense. Okay. So. But at any rate, that simplistic notion of justice is certainly an idea, a prevalent idea of justice, and that's really the idea. The Rambam mentions this idea where he says that the people that worship God out of a fear, yiras onesh. Yiras Onish. That he says, Ein roi lavaras ad Hashem al derech hazeh. That's a simplistic way. He's afraid of getting punished, so therefore he's just. Okay. There's another idea of justice. Plato basically tackled the problem of justice, and Plato tried to explain justice without the idea of God. Okay? He tried to explain what justice is per se. What is justice? So Plato said that justice is when everything, like in a city, if you have a city, so everything is geared in a city to function in accordance with what it's made, what it's made to do. Like a cobbler is made to, his job is to make shoes, so that's his function. Then you have a poet, his job is to produce poetry, that's his function. If the poet will take over the cobbler's job, so then the cobbler, the poet, so you understand what will happen, you'll have chaos. And the same thing with every element in the city. Every element in the city, in order for the city to function properly, every element has to do what it's best at doing and what it's capable of doing. So Plato said, and then the city, if you establish that, if you're successful in establishing such a city, so then the city functions in harmony. It's a harmony. Okay. So Plato said the same thing is true of the human soul. There are elements in the human soul, and it's like a city that you're starting a city. Things are not established yet, so everything is vying for power and control. Then you need the melech, you need the one good melech, melech b'mishpat yamid aretz, you need the one melech that comes in and establishes everybody's position and everybody's place and creates the harmony. So he says the same thing is true of the soul, that the soul has different elements, but every element is made to function in a certain way. And if every element indeed does function properly, so then you have a harmonious soul. And that is a just individual. A harmonious soul. But what is an unjust individual? An unjust individual is like a tyrant. Tyrant is unjust. There's one part of the soul that's overpowering him. He doesn't have a harmonious soul. So he's going to be unjust. You see, the individual whose soul is harmonious, the individual whose soul is harmonious will be a just individual, because every element in his soul will be functioning in the proper way. And then he goes on to show what those elements are and how they should function. That's the whole republic. I mean, that's the purpose of his work. So according to Plato. Plato describes or defines justice, as I said before, without introducing the idea of God. It's a justice based upon the idea of a harmony. Just like in a city you have a harmony, in the soul you have a harmony. If you have a harmony in the soul, then you have a harmonious individual who is just. That's Plato's idea. The Navi's idea is different. The Navi's idea is what Yirmiyahu, what the Rambam is finishing off, the Mara Nevuchim with, is the idea of the Navi as to what justice is. And it's different than Plato's, and it's different than the prevalent view as well. Yeah. What the Rambam is saying, the Rambam is explaining what the Navi is teaching. What is justice? Ki ani Hashem oseh chesed mishpat utzdakah ba'aretz. That is the pasuk that explains what justice is. You see, ki im bezos is halal hamishal haskel v'yado osi. Ki ani Hashem oseh chesed mishpat utzdakah ba'aretz. What is the pasuk talking about? You know, it doesn't have to be more clear that this pasuk is talking about justice. And the pasuk is not only talking about justice, but it's telling you what it is, and it's telling you how to attain it. Yeah. The Navi tied justice to Yedias Hashem. It's an interesting thing. The Navi's idea of justice is different. The Navi's idea of justice to the Navi.
Hello, can you hear you?
For the Navi, justice cannot be explained without God. At the same time, it's not the simple view that the prevalent view of justice. But for the Navi, justice cannot be explained without the idea of God. Not only without the idea of God, but without Yediyas Hashem. Without Yediyas Hashem. What the Navi said is, what is justice? Justice is tied to Yediyas Hashem insofar as man is capable. Now, man is capable in Yediyas Hashem, like the Shir HaKavod says, Vayashvucha lefi ma'asecha, in studying the Ma'asei Hashem, the Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in studying the Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we attain a certain knowledge of God. Knowledge of God insofar as God governs. Okay? Ki ani ad Hashem, what does it mean? Ani ad Hashem, osem mishpat utzdokov v'oretz ki be'elo chafatz dinom Hashem. It means that if a person investigates and gains knowledge, Yediyas Hashem, what he gains is knowledge of how God governs. Okay? And insofar as he gains knowledge of how God governs, he himself, insofar as he governs, governs in the same way. Okay? Does that mean he governs like God? Cholela, it's impossible. But does that mean he is not governing any better than he did before? No, it doesn't mean that either. It means he governs insofar as the Tzelem HaElokim is capable of governing. So according to the Navi, it's an amazing thing. According to the Navi, what is justice? What is justice? Justice is not cannot be explained like Plato as a harmony that you can grasp and that is a fixed idea. You see, according to the Navi, justice is an infinite idea. You see? That's why Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hodieni noas drachecha. Because Moshe Rabbeinu saw he has to govern the people, and he saw Klal Yisrael was about to be destroyed. And the only way he could save them, and if you don't give me this additional knowledge of how you govern, then I can't govern any better than I am governing now, and therefore Klal Yisrael is going to be destroyed. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, in Hodieni, that's what the Ram points to, he says, in Hodieni noas drachecha. He makes reference to that. Because the idea, the Rambam over here, is exposing what the Torah's idea of justice really is. Justice, according to the Torah, is an infinite concept. It's a concept that is subject to variation of degree. It depends. A person is infinitely really involved in justice. Insofar as he gains knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is something which is not a stagnant process, but it's a dynamic, constant process, he is always gaining more knowledge of justice. Because Yediyas Hashem teaches him how God governs. And once he knows how God governs, he must govern that way. Because that is Danis. You see? Once he knows the reality and understands how God governs, then he has to govern in the same manner. So according to the Navi, you see, justice is tied, very much tied with God. But not in a way that the average person thinks, just simply he has to be good, not be bad. That's honest. But in a completely different way, a metaphysical way. In other words, justice is, for man, is the fulfilling of the Tzelem HaElokim. The Tzelem HaElokim. And as a person gains in knowledge, what is in knowledge, in true knowledge, which means the knowledge of how God governs, he gains as a Tzelem HaElokim. So insofar as he fulfills the element of the Tzelem HaElokim, he becomes more just. And what does he become like? He becomes like his perception and his knowledge of God's justice. That's the thesis of the Navi. You see. So really, according to the Navi, justice is something which a person cannot really know what it is at the outset. It's something which is going to grow with his knowledge. It's something which Moshe Rabbeinu asked for an increase in that knowledge. He asked for an increase in that knowledge, and when he received the Nevuah, he was a more just person than before, which means that Tzelem HaLakim of Moshe Rabbeinu was Nishlam through the Nevuah. It's an interesting thing. It means it's something you can't know. This really explains a Maimar in Pirkei Avos, you see. Maimar in Pirkei Avos is like this. It says, and it's in Perek Shlishi, third parak of Pirkei Avos, is like this. It's a funny kind of a maimar. Perek Shlishi, Mishnah Yadalit, says, Hu Hayomer, Chaviv Odom Shenivro B'Tzelem. Okay, what is it? Chaviv Odom Shenivro B'Tzelem. Person was created with Tzelem Elokim. It's Chaviv. It's something which is a very significant thing. Okay, that's fine. But then he says, Chibo Yisera no Da'as Lo Shenivro B'Tzelem. Chibo, his tremendous chibo was shown to him from God, tremendous kindness, that he was created with a tzelem. I mean, what does that mean? I understand the phrase, Chovev Adam Shenivro Tzelem. Fine. But what's Chibo Yisera no Da'as Lo Shenivro Tzelem? I mean, God told him something, so what? This was a tremendous thing that God, Chibo Yisera, an additional chibo, was shown to man, that he was notified that he was Nivro B'Tzelem. Okay, I mean, what is the point of this? Okay, Shenamar B'Tzelem Elokim Osasa Adam, because the pasuk says B'Tzelem means God disclosed that He created him B'Tzelem Elokim, and if He wouldn't disclose, so then it wouldn't be Chibo Yisera. It'd still be something, but not Chibo Yisera. The Chibo Yisera, the real Chibo, the ultimate expression of Chibo was there was no Das Lo Shenivro B'Tzelem. Okay, so I mean, if I do somebody a favor. So if I gave somebody $1 million, but I didn't notify them, so what would you say? And if I notified them, okay, I mean, who cares really? I mean, as long as he has the good, that's it. That's the important thing. So I notified him. Okay, so he knows. So he feels a certain hakara to me. What about over here? The Chazal is saying no. It's not the same thing. Over here they're saying Chaviv Adam Shnivetzom, but Chibo Yisera no Das Lo Shnivetzom. In other words, the Chibo Yisera really lies in the fact that it was no Das Lo. You see, Shenema B'Tzelem Elokim Osu Asadam. And what is what does the pasuk mean? What's the right for the pasuk anyways? Okay. Well, I think what he means is like this. What he means is that just like injustice. A person doesn't know what justice is. As he gains knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Yedias Hashem increases, so then his justice increases. His justice increases. Okay. So it means to say that at the outset you really can't know what you're capable of. See, that's what the Maimer is saying. What the Maimer is saying is in an ordinary gift, doesn't really matter if you tell the person, because the person, if you give a person $1 million, so he wants $1 million, he knows what it is, that's it. But when a person receives a gift that he only recognizes partially, the value of it, if you don't tell him this is something which has an amazing potential, and if you follow it through, you can reach Ada Shemayim. So if you don't tell him that, so then he won't know what he has. You see? That's what the Maimer is saying. Yes, wonderful that person is telling him. Everybody recognizes intelligence. But Chiba Yisera no Daslo. What was the Chiba Yisera? Chiba Yisera was that God didn't just give man a Tzelem Elokim, but he told him, be careful, watch this thing that I gave you. This has a potential that you don't even realize what it is. And it can be fulfilled. It cannot be fulfilled unless you pursue Chachma and Das, and then it'll be something that you'll first recognize what I gave you. You see? And the Maimar says that Chibo Yisera no Das Lo, because the Pasuk says, Ki B'Tzelem Elokim Osu Asa Adam. I think what the pasuk means is. What the maimer means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu let you know how valuable this gift is? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu used his own name in the gift. Betzelem Elokim Osa Asadon. Really, what does it mean? Betzelem Elokim? I mean, Betzelem Elokim is a Moli Kasav Amro, Moli Kasav Moli Mikhtav Yefshel Moli Mikro Kasav Yefshel Amro. You can't say such a thing. What do you mean? It's Moli Kim. You can't make such a statement. It's only the Pasuk can make that statement. Because the Pasuk is telling you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, I mean, Kavah Yochol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reduced this, was Michael is covered. And he said, B'tzalam Elokim Asa Adam, to let you impress upon you the fact that, the extent of this gift is limitless. You don't know what it is, you see. So, Ilmole Mikra Kosav Yefshel La'omra, what did he tell him? Elokim Asa Adam, a person walk around thinking, Salam Elokim, it's a self-deification. But what does it mean? It means that the Pasuk wrote that in order that you should know the extent of the Matana. Chibo Yisera no das lo ki nivra b'tzalam. Shenema ki b'tzalam alakim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu used his own name. Ki b'tzalam alakim asas adam. And the same thing's true with the next two ma'amarim as well. Chaviven Yisrael shenikru banu l'makayim. Chiba Yisera no das lohem shenikru banu l'makayim. Shenema banu matem l'rashem l'kechem. Again, what right do you have to say that you're a ben to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's a mole mikrokos v'yefshel amro. Well, no, that was the Chiba Yisera, to show the person that doesn't realize what it means that Klal Yisrael is related to God in a metaphysical way. Yeah, it's wonderful that we received the Torah. But the Chiba Yisera is that God is telling Klal Yisrael, Boni Matem L'Hashem L'Kechem, he uses his own name in order to show that you don't realize the extent of this matana. You don't realize the extent of matana. And the same thing is true. The same thing is true in the last part of Memra as well, where he says, Chaviven Yisrael shenitnu lahem klei chemda. Klei chemda means Torah. Chiba Yisera nadas lahem shenitnu lahem klei chemda. Shebo nivra olam. Because with Torah, the whole universe was created. Shenema ki lekach tov nasati lochem torasi al tazavu. What word in the pasuk over there is he referring to? Torasi. Yeah, because otherwise, lekach tov nasati lochem, fine. Torasi al tazavu. That's a my Torah. That's what it means. My Torah means the Torah with which the universe was created. So it means to say that it's wonderful that you recognize the matana of Torah, but in order to recognize that matana, you have to recognize that you don't recognize it. That you don't know what it is. It's infinite. Okay, the matana is infinite. And if it weren't for the fact that God told you that it's so, you'd never know that. That's only through Nevuah. So really the idea, the same thing, that's exactly the case with Mishpat. With the Navi, with the Torah's idea of Mishpat. Mishpat is not just simply a harmony. There's more to Mishpat than a harmony. Mishpat is Yedias Hashem. Yedias Hashem means the study and the knowledge. It's Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem. That Adam is created in Tzelem Elokim, and his grasp, his knowledge of the Creator is something. It's not ultimate, but it is something. He's Nivra B'Tzelem. He's Nivra. And once he fulfills that Tzelem, when he fulfills that Tzelem, in fulfilling that Tzelem, then he becomes a just individual. Then he's an individual that's Osa Mishpat Utztako, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Ma'alafata. That's the Navi's idea of justice. It's a different idea. I would say, where do you see the difference? I'll tell you where you see the difference. With Plato's idea of justice, there is only Mishpat. That's the only thing you can explain. Tzedakah you won't find. Can't be. Because just harmony? I don't care. Harmony means each person has his place. And if one is out of place, that's it. It's too bad. In Yahadus, it's never Mishpat alone. It's always Mishpar Utsdaka. It says, Ki Yedativ Laman Asher Yetzaves Bonov V'Shomru Derech HaShem Lasos Tzedaka O Mishpar. Ki Yenir Hashem Osa Chesed Mishpar Utsdaka Baretz. That's why the Rambam's Girsin, Hashiva Shofteinu, is different than our Girsin. We say, our Girsin is Moroch L'Antar Hashem V'Adecha V'Chesed HaRachmim V'Tzadkeinu B'Mishpat. The Rambam's Girsin is, Ki Atol V'Adecha, V'Simlach Atol V'Adecha, B'Rachmim V'Tzedek U'V'Mishpat. Baruch HaTor Hashem, Melech Olay V'Tzadkeinu B'Mishpat. Because V'Tzadkeinu B'Mishpat is a verb. Where's the Tzadkeinu B'Mishpat? Tzadkeinu B'Mishpat is lacking. Melech Olay V'Tzadkeinu B'Mishpat. So the Ram's gears is the Simloch Atal of Adecha doesn't have the Shem Hashem, the Simloch Atal of Adecha, Berachamim, Betzedek of Mishpat, Baruch Ator Hashem, Melech Oyev Tzedek of Mishpat. Because you never have Mishpat without Tzedakah. Mishpat and Tzedakah is really, is the phrase, the proper phrase in describing how HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha relates to this world. That's the Ram in the end. That's the Ram in the end. In the end of the Mar. That's the Ram showing that the whole idea of Mishpat, our idea, the Navi's idea, up to one point the Navi goes along with the philosopher, and that is insofar as the Idea Hashem is concerned. But then they part roads. The Navi has a different idea of Tzedakah Mishpat. That's all the Navim straight through. You always see Tzedakah Mishpat from the first pasuk. He adopted Lamana Sheyisav as Banav as Beisel Achrav. That point on, Mishpat is defined as a separate, a completely, something which is not devoid of tzedakah. In Plato's idea of a harmony, you won't have tzedakah, you have Mishpat. That, I would say, is a characteristic, distinctive, different, mark of difference between the philosopher's idea of Mishpat and between Yada's idea of Mishpat. I often wondered why it is that the pasuk doesn't talk about Avram Avinu before Parshas Lech Lecha. I mean, the whole story of Avram Avinu really begins with Lech Lecha with the Nevuah. That's where it starts. But really, isn't it true that his major accomplishment was really before, like the Rambam describes, that he wasn't influenced at all by the Avnei Avodah Zarah, and he was able with his own mind, his own originality, Daito Hanachono, as the Rambam's lashon over there, his seichel, his wonderful seichel that was so clear that he could ascertain the truth concerning the Creator. So what about all that? Why does the Torah leave that out? Why does the Torah omit that? Why does the Torah not have about that? I think the answer is because that is something which, at that point, that is something which Avraham Avinu attained, just like the philosophers attained. The knowledge of God, and the knowledge that the only thing important is the knowledge of God. That he attained like the philosophers. But that was before he had the concept of Tzedakah Mishpat. Tzedakah Mishpat he only attained through Nevuah, you see. So that's why the Torah only talks about Avram after he attained the level of Nevuah, where the Mahuafata, that's what Chazal say, Avram Avinu was the first one that called that called HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adon. Adon means that he learns from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and his actions are determined by Yedias Hashem. That's the idea of Kiyim Bezos Hishalam Hishal Haskel V'Yadoh Osa Kiyir Hashem Osa Chesed Mishpat Tzedakah Baretz. So that was only after Nevuah. Before Nevuah, he didn't have that level. The Torah does not talk about him before he had that level. And that's the whole thing of Avraham Avinu. It means he understood how HaKadosh Baruch Hu governs the world. That's what the Pasuk is teaching you. And through that, he achieved a different level of Adam. The Tzelem Elokim rose to a different level through that Yediyah. So So it comes out that the Tzelem Elokim is perfected through Yediyah. That's why the Rambam says Nochas Sar Torah, that's one of the Yesori Ados. Mi Yesori Ados Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Menabe Es Bnei Ha'adam. Yesori Ados Leida Shehakel Menabe Es Bnei Ha'adam. Okay? Because without that, the Tzelem Elokim cannot be completed. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not create a creature that can't fulfill its essence, its nature. So that's why it's Yisod Hadas. If you don't believe that, so then you're missing the whole Yisod Hadas. So Avraham Avinu really was Nishlam. He really rose to the true level, like the Rambam says in the end of the Mor Nevuchim, the true level that Yirmiyahu talks about. That once you understand the Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you will be an individual that's Osa Chesed Mishpat Zdaka Baretz as well in your sphere, of governing, insofar as governing becomes available to you, and that's something that becomes available to every human being. That's basically what the Rambam is saying. There is one thing. So the question is, of course, so what is it? So is there anything we can know about this? I would just say, okay, it's a very nice theory, beautiful theory. That once an individual has Yedias Hashem and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu governs and he can attain that knowledge, even though it's not ultimate knowledge, it's Hodienos Rechecha, it's not a Hyrenius Vodecha, fine. But, okay, is there anything that we could derive from this right now? In other words, can we say we know something right now that would throw us into this mode of operation, you see? Or do we say, no, it's a very nice theory, but you need the vor, and if you, and that's it, might as well forget about it until you get the vor, you see? The answer is that there is something that every person can derive just from his basic knowledge of Torah and his basic knowledge of Yedias Hashem. There is something that a person can derive. And that is that you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Osa Mishpat, and that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the Rambam says, that his justice extends to this earth, like Moshe Rabbeinu said, L'man Tedekit L'Hashem Aretz. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in relating to man, you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in relating to man, there's two things in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with man that we can emulate and that we could know. One is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't gain any satisfaction from relating with man. That's number one. And number two is that when we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yoshev B'din, he is Dan the person according to his essence. In other words, he's Dan the individual and he's Osa Mishpat, but also Chesed and Tzedakah, insofar as his Tzelem HaLakim, the essential part of his nature, is concerned, because that's really what's important. Okay? That's the whole Rambam's theory of Ashgacha. What's the main idea in the Rambam's theory of Ashgacha is? That Ashgacha is Hashem. Everybody's making a mistake because they're looking for Ashgacha in the wrong places. They're looking for Ashgacha in terms of wealth, in terms of health, in terms of financial, in terms of other things. But the Ashgacha really is in terms of the Tzelem HaLakim, Yedias Hashem. That's the real important thing. So what it teaches, what a person can derive, what a person can derive from the Mahawafata is, he can recognize that in his relations with other human beings, you see, in his intercourse with the rest of humanity, a person can do two things. He can do it, a person can relate with other people because his own satisfaction, his own personal psychological needs. That if when he does that, he is not emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's his own personal enjoyment, you see. But when he relates to other people in a way that he is doing it because he is benefiting their Tzelem HaLakim in an objective fashion, then he's emulating the Creator. You see? That's what the Rambam says basically about Avraham Avinu. That Avraham Avinu's, the Derech of Avraham was really to one of the aspects of their Havram was to benefit a person in the true manner. Most people's relations with others is really, it's a selfish kind of, they gain from the social intercourse, they're gaining from it, and it's mutual, I'm gaining, you're gaining, we both enjoy being together, so it's a mutual thing, why shouldn't we know it? That is not emulating Midas Kashrus. Well, that's a personal satisfaction. But I'm not saying that a person should never enjoy friendship. I mean, but a person has to recognize what things are. That is not the level. That's not really where he's emulating the Creator. That's not the Mawafata. But where a person relates to another individual in a way that he benefits the other individual in really significant areas, namely the area of the Tzelem Elokim, and he does so because he recognizes that this is Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you see, then he's emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a different kind of social intercourse. It's a social intercourse which is not based upon his emotional satisfaction, and it's a social intercourse which is based upon the most important objective for the other individual, namely to help the other individual in achieving that which is really good, that which is really tied to the Tzelem Elokim. That's one thing that a person, an individual, is capable of seeing from the Mawaf Ata, even on a level where the individual is not the level of Hodien Nostrechachal, but the level of knowledge that we attain through the Nevi'im and through the Torah. Okay, we'll stop there. Yeah, okay. I just want to add, when somebody asked me that, where do you see from the Pasuk that you have to emulate the ways of God? The Pasuk is clear, because it says Haskel v'yado sikinei Hashem osa chesu mishpo zagabaretz and ki be'elo chafatzti no Hashem. Ki be'elo chafatzti means that's what I want you to do. Okay. Now, the thing is like this, that today's shiur is really a continuation from the one I gave 2 weeks ago. So it's based on that premise. So what I'm going to have to do is just briefly go over what we said, and then we'll continue from there, because I know everybody wasn't here. It was vacation time. Okay, the question that we raised was that the whole, the Rambam, is based on the question of the Rambam Hilchos Deis Perek Aleph. Okay, so the Rambam says over there that the mitzvah of... V'alachta b'drachav. The Rambam says lidamos b'drachav. It means that we should imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. So, and the Rambam says kach lomdu b'firish mitzvah zu. That's in Perek Aleph Halacha Vav. Mahu nikro chanan, afatoye chanan. Mahu nikro rachum, afatoye rachum. Mahu nikro kadosh, he's called, he's referred to with the appellation of Kadosh, Afatah Yeh Kadosh. Val derech zu koron evim lakeo b'chol osin akinuyim, and this style, in this manner, is evim called God by all these adjectives. Okay? Erech apayim, Rav Chesed, why? Lodia, to teach you, shehein drachim tovim v'yisharim, that these are the correct ways for a person to follow and to live according to. Okay. So, and that really, he says, is the whole derech of, he continues later, he says, that's the derech Hashem, and that's the derech that Avram Avinu taught. So I went into it at length. If you have a chance, it might be worthwhile to listen to the tape. But just briefly, the question is that these things are not really God's midos, because God doesn't have any midos. And that the Rambam makes clear in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah that a person that thinks that God has midos is simply lacks his whole emunah in Hashem. And the Rambam expounds upon that further in the Mora. That not only that, he says, but if a person thinks that God has an element, of compassion in His nature, he says, it comes out he doesn't believe in God. He says, without knowing, because it's not possible to have a wrong idea of God. A wrong idea of God, it's possible to have a wrong idea of a physical thing, the Rambam says. Because to have a wrong idea means that you know something about it, but there's something that's not correct. But the Rambam points out in the Mori, he says that with relation to God, that's not possible. Because it's only part, just briefly, what the Rambam says is that Achdus Hashem makes such a thing impossible. Because you can have partial knowledge of something that has parts. But since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echad, so you can't have partial knowledge of him. So if you have a wrong idea, it's not God anymore. It's not God anymore. That's what the Rambam points out in the Mara. So the Rambam says that anyone that thinks that God has a sense of Rachmanis, like a person does, so there's an element in God, so he says it comes out, he doesn't believe in God. Because there is no such existence like that. Okay? It's not possible to have partial knowledge of God because God has no parts. So it's not possible. It's only possible in the physical world to have partial knowledge of something, to be wrong about something. To be wrong means you know something about it, but you're wrong. But in relationship to God, you can't be wrong. Your idea of God is completely non-existent, and therefore, he says, a person that doesn't understand that, he says, simply does not believe in God anymore. Okay, that's the Rambam. The Rambam explains. So the Rambam explains the Sefer Torah, the same idea basically, but the Rambam. So the Rambam explains that God does not have any midos, any real midos like we understand midos. So the question, of course, is in the Rambam. It comes out a very crazy kind of thing that God doesn't have these midos, but the Nevi'im called God by those midos. Why? To teach us that we should follow in this derech. Correct? But it's not true. In other words, why did they say that about God? So we should follow and imitate God. But that's not God. You can't say because we have to do something, they should project that onto God, which is false, and then say, now imitate God. It doesn't make any sense. It's not true. That was the question we took up last week. Briefly, the answer we gave was that man has a tzelem elokim, and a tzelem elokim means that he can live in a way that his chokhmah prevails over all his presides over his entire life. He follows the derech of chokhmah. Okay, now the midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu means the nihug HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So a person can never have a true idea of God, but an individual, a person can learn from the midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is knowing in Briyosov, he can attain a certain level of understanding. Okay? And then when he attains that level of understanding, so then he can emulate that. He can emulate that type of nihug, and in emulating that type of nihug, it's tzelem halakim is nishlam. Then he's living according to the tzelem. That's what's called tzelem halakim. Tzelem halakim means just like, for instance, in the scientific world, we could never really understand the universe because it's chachmas Hashem and it's infinite. But and then the Rambam explains in Hilchos Teshuvah, the Rambam explains that our understanding and our methods of understanding and the tools that we use in understanding are not the real tools. They're just something given to us by God in order to be able to penetrate to some degree, the reality that surrounds us. But it's a very limited kind of a thing, and it's not the real ultimate knowledge. Only our knowledge is based on causation, for instance, and God's knowledge is not based on causation. So but the fact is that what we do understand, we do gain some truth. We do gain some. It is knowledge. It's knowledge, but it is not ultimate knowledge. So we said that that's the same thing. That's the same thing is true when we study the Derech Hashem. Okay, the Derech Hashem. So the Derech Hashem means how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is knowing. How do we know how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is knowing? So we know from the Nevi'im, from the Torah. That's something which you can't know without the Navi. That's the Rambam at the end of the morning. I elaborated on more last week. I'm just going to briefly. So from the Navi, you know the Nihug HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And from that, we have some insight into that niyug, just like we have some insight into science. We don't say a person that that's a great scientist is equal to a person that has no knowledge of science. That's a fool. But we say he has approached reality to a certain degree, and that's the Tzavon Elokim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the ability to approach reality to a certain degree, even though it's not the ultimate picture of reality man can ever have. Okay, because he doesn't have the tools for it. But he has tools that will give him some insight. He is closer to the truth than the fool that doesn't know anything. Okay? So the same thing is true with regard to Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That studying the Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person a certain insight, and if he follows those Midos, he lives in a way that his Tzelem HaLakim reaches its full level of perfection. And then he is really an Adam. That's the idea of that's the concept of Lidamos Elov. Then we went to the concept of justice, and our concept of justice is different, but that's a side point. This is essentially the answer to the problem. Okay. So that's the mitzvah Lidamos Elov. It means to study the Maaseh Hashem, and through the Maaseh Hashem, which we gain some insight on our level according to our understanding, which is not ultimate, but it is something. In other words, Yehadus maintains our understanding, lo machshavos and machshavoseichem, that there is an infinite difference between God's machshavos and our machshavos, but still our machshavos is not nothing. It's something. That's the idea of Tzelem Elokim. It is something. Okay. So the same thing is true with regard to Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So basically, this answers really the question that the philosophers have always asked. The question is, what's the purpose of human existence? What is the purpose of human existence? So, I mean, you always have a problem with that. I mean, it's like the Rambam says, you're going to find the purpose, and the question is, what's the purpose of that purpose? It's an endless question. But basically, the answer the Yehadus has, the purpose of our existence is very simple. To be a Tzelem Elokim. That's the purpose. Okay? To exist in the manner that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the potential that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made available to us, that is the objective. Because what are we? We're really Yitzurim. We are created. Okay? Yotzur. So it is God's will that we should exist, and our purpose is to exist in the manner that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it possible for us to exist as Adam, as a Tzelem Elokim. Okay? There is no other purpose. That is the purpose. The Yeda kol Yotzur ki ata Yitzarta. It means a person has to recognize what he is. He is a Yotzur. It's God's will that he should exist. He's a created being. And that created being, when it lives according to the full potential of what is available to it, then that is the purpose of that. That's its purpose. Okay. Beyond that, there's no. Beyond that, you can't have any purpose. Okay. Now, I'd like to go a little further, because I think based on that answer, in other words, that the Dias Hashem through his drachen, which he made available to us. Through Nevuah, you see, that's the difference between Nevuah and without Nevuah. That's what the Rambam says in his famous letter, where he says that Aristotle reached the Tachlis Dasa Adam. Tachlis Dasa Adam, the highest level of the scientific mind, he says, before Nevuah. Because what the Rambam means is that there's a very big difference, that you can only reach a certain level of knowledge without Nevuah. But Nevuah takes you into a different arena. And the different arena, the different area that Nevuah takes you into is essentially is Yedias Hashem. Yedias Hashem is not possible without Nevuah. You can't know Darchei Hashem. How could a philosopher know Darchei Hashem? It's an impossibility. Darchei Hashem is only through Nevuah. And Rambam, the end of the Mora, explains. So therefore, we have been fortunate in that HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to Avraham Avinu his drachim, and that's the Yerushalayim, Lech Lecha Me'atzecha Meladetcha Beis Avicha, Va'avorecha, Gadol Shemecha, Va'yei Barucha, Va'avochem Barachecha, Mekalelcha Aor, What were those psukim telling Avraham Avinu? It was giving him an insight into Derech Hashem, into Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, into Derech Hashem, and Nihug HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Briyasa. That's why we mentioned, nothing is mentioned really of the life of Avraham Avinu before, when it would seem that that should have been the most important thing, his discovery of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the Rambam explains. Why is that not mentioned? The answer is because the Torah only mentions Avraham Avinu after he had insight into Darchei Hashem, because that's the whole Derech of Avraham Avinu. That's the Derech Hashem. Kilmanash Yitzaves Bonaves Beisav Hashemru Derech Hashem Lasso Sdaka Mishpat Nihu Gakadosh Baruch Hu in Briyasa. And that was the whole argument Avraham Avinu had with God, with Chalilocha Shofei Kolos Layasa Mishpat. That was because he had insight into Nihu Gakadosh Baruch Hu in Briyasa, and once he understood that, so then he was able to argue, and according to his responsibility to demand from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should be able to understand further than the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Didn't make sense to him. So he had a right. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened up the Pesach already, so he had a right to be misvakeach with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to demand further knowledge. That's like Chazal said Moshe Rabbeinu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Herach Mimeni, so Moshe Rabbeinu, Herach Mimeni, he says, apparently it's up to me. If I want to pursue this, I can't pursue it. So it took the ultimate courage to be able to do that, but he got the key from Dvar Hashem. So that really is the same thing with Avraham Avinu. But there's no account of Avraham Avinu before Lech Lecha for the simple reason that the whole Derech Hashem is based upon this insight, this Ma'u Afaka. That's the whole Yisod of it. That's what it means when it says that Avraham Avinu was the first one to call HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adni, Chazal said. First one to use the Shem Adni was Avraham Avinu. Why? Because what is the Shem Adni? The Shem Adni means that his whole Derech HaChayim is based upon his understanding of the Derech Hashem. The Rav one time, my brother one mentioned to me, the Rav one time in passing, said, B'derech Tzachlis, He said, what does it mean that Avraham Avinu was the first one to call Kadosh Baruch Hu Adni? He says, to recognize Kadosh Baruch Hu as Adni. So, and other Marishan didn't know Kadosh Baruch Hu? I mean, how could you say that? So he said, nice. He says, other Marishan knew Kadosh Baruch Hu, knew God exists. He says, but don't tell me what to do. You exist, but leave me alone. Don't tell me what to do. So Avraham Avinu is the first one that said, Adni. Adni means he's my master. Tells me what to do. That's really the same idea that we're mentioning over here. In other words, the Shem Adni means my master. It means, what is the master determines what the act of the Eved is. How the Eved lives is determined by whom? It's determined by the Adon. That's the whole idea of an Adon and an Eved. That's this idea of Eved Hashem. What does it mean, Eved Hashem? God doesn't need any servants. What does it mean, Eved Hashem? It means Eved Hashem is a mashal. It means just like the Eved's whole life is determined by the Adon, so too the individual that lives according to Torah, his whole life is determined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Determined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he understands, he follows the Derech Hashem. So the Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the whole Yisod of the Torah, basically. The whole Derech Hashem of Derech Avram is the Shem Adni. That's really what the Shem Adni is. The Shem Adni, Avram Avinu was the first one that had insight into the Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Derech Hashem, and because of his insight, he was that caused him to follow and live as a Tzelem HaLakim modeled after the Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midos determined his whole existence, his whole life. That's really the Shem Adni. That other Marishan didn't have any insight into. Nayach didn't have, only Avraham Avinu. That's what we said. That's why Nayach couldn't be misfakeh with HaKadosh Baruch Hu about the model. Never argued. Just whatever God said, that's what he did. Because he didn't have any insight into the Derech Hashem. So there's nothing to argue about. You know what I mean? What's we going to argue? Kadosh Baruch Hu, don't do this, make a table, go into it. There's nothing to talk about. The world's going to be destroyed. So that really is the whole. That's the whole change in the Torah from when Avraham Avinu comes into the picture. Whole new framework. That's the whole framework of Yehudas, and it's based upon Avraham. Based upon Avraham, like the Rambam says, that Aristotle could reach a certain level. Aristotle represents Adam. The scientific mind can reach a certain level of Akaras Hashem, recognition of the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Derech Hashem is not possible. Without Nevuah is not possible. And that's the whole Derech of Avraham Avinu. That's the sort of Kol HaTorah Kula. So, yeah. But now I want to take up, there's one thing that if we don't take this up, I think we will be doing a grave injustice insofar as our understanding, insofar as our Yedias Hashem is concerned. Like the Rambam says, and the mistakes in that area are the worst area to make a mistake in, because that is the ultimate, everything revolves around the Yedias Hashem. If we make a mistake in that area, that's the worst mistake you can make. Yes.
I don't understand why
Yedias Hashem is the what the Ram says in the Mori, you mean? Why it's not possible that partial knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Not a different concept of God. That's why it doesn't say, you say Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, you don't say Elokei Moshe. Why do you say Elokei Moshe? Because you say Elokei Moshe, the implication of Moshe has a different concept of God. That's the same idea of God as the idea from the others. Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Moshe Rabbeinu had deeper knowledge, but not a different idea of God. Okay. Not a different. No. There is a certain level of idea of God's existence, and what we mean by when we say God, that can't be changed. That idea will not be changed. You could know more about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but not the idea has to remain the same. Okay, Avraham is what Yaakov means. That is the idea of God. The same idea that Avraham Avinu had. There's no change. Moshe Rabbeinu did not perceive a change in so far as knowledge of God's existence. There's only one way that man can perceive it, and that's the way Avraham Avinu discovered, and that's it. That cannot be changed. Yes? Correct. There's no question about it. As a matter of fact, that's why I mentioned, yeah, the level, a philosopher and a chacham could come to the conclusion of Yedias Hashem. I mean, Einstein's idea of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, not a Buckin is his idea exactly, but basically it would appear that his idea of God is the same idea, correct idea, that there's the Mamzi Kol Nimtzo, the way the Rambam describes Yisod Yisodos. So a human being through Chochmah can come to that idea. And that even Aristotle was able to arrive at. The Rambam himself says that Aristotle had the correct idea of God. There are different things that he didn't know. I mean, but the whole Derech HaChaim is not possible without Nevuah. That's what I'm saying. But Adam can reach the level. Avraham Avinu reached the level that was Makir Boro. That was before Nevuah. As a matter of fact, it was 35 years later that he had Nevuah. At the age of 40, he reached the level of Yedias Hashem, Akaras Hashem. He's Hikir as Boro. But then 35 years later, he received Nevuah. But the Nevuah that he received gave him a whole different dimension. A dimension that man is not capable of attaining without Nevuah. And that's why it's one of the Yesodos. Is Shakarish Baruch Hu Menabeis Bnei Adam? Why is that a Yisod? Shakarish Baruch Hu Menabeis Bnei Adam? Because without Nevuah, the Tzelem Elokim cannot be Nishlam. It's impossible. So you're right. You're absolutely right. That Aristotle was great a Chacham as he was, or Einstein as great as he has the idea of a Shakarish Baruch Hu, he could have attained the true idea of a Shakarish Baruch Hu. But that's it. It's a limit. He can't go any further. He cannot be Mashlim the Tzelem Elokim without without the Yediyas Hashem through Nevuah. That's why it's a Yesod that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Menabes B'nei Adam, because if he's not Menabes B'nei Adam, then you can only reach a certain level. It would mean that God created a creature that can never attain its potential. And that would not be Maaseh Hashem. That would lack in Shlemus, and therefore it cannot be, such a thing cannot be. So if a person maintains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Menabes as B'nei Adam, but he gave man an intellect and the Tzelem Elokim, and that's it, but not Nevuah, it would mean that God made a creature who could never fulfill his potential in terms of what he is capable of, because he can't do it through Chochmah alone. He has to have Nevuah. And that would mean that Kadosh Baruch Hu was not Noeg in Shleimus with regard to his creation. And that's an impossible. Okay, that's basically, but that's the idea of Mawa. Mawa Fatos Kolotarko. It's a whole. I mean, without the Mawa Fatos, like the Rambam says, without the Derech Hashem. So I mean, you have great philosophers that arrived at the true idea of God. No one denies that. Yeah. Yeah. Moshe Rabbeinu, Adon and Avim had a different insight into Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu that no human being ever had. Or no human being ever will have. Okay, the Don on the Vim. Okay. There's a strange pasuk in yesterday's parsha. Strange pasuk in yesterday's parsha, which I hope to be able to explain. Okay? The pasuk by Yisro. And whenever the derech of the Torah is that the sodos of the Torah, soda Hashem li'reyav, the sodos of the way the Torah reveals that there is a sod, and it points to certain ideas and conveys certain information that people on different levels can perceive, is through being very cryptic. I mean, that's why, for instance, the Rishonim was so much into Diktuk, like the Ibn Ezra Diktuk. Why? Because Diktuk is really where the Sodos emerge. I mean, the plain Lashon HaMikra was written for everybody, Dibur Torah Lashon Bnei Adam. But then the Mikra goes a little bit off. The deviations is where the Sodos are. So that's why, like for instance, Shmiat Hashem lo no dati lahem. Immediately you see, what do you mean lo no? It should be lo ho dati lahem. What's lo no dati? No dati. There's a big sod over there. Big, major idea. Shmiat Hashem lo no dati lahem. So the Torah, through diktuk, through the change, through being cryptic, the Torah reveals the sodas. Now in yesterday's parsha, you have an interesting pasuk. Also, it's a kind of Torah is very brief and in a few words. It says something which you don't understand clearly what it means. When it says by Yisrael, Vayomer Yisrael Baruch Ad Hashem Asher Hitzil Eschem Miyad Mitzrayim Miyad Paro Asher Hitzil Eschem Mitachas Yad Mitzrayim. Everybody understands it. Okay. But now it goes on. Ato Yadati, Yisrael says. It's interesting to see from an outsider how an outsider views the system is very. A chacham, a great chacham, an outsider, how he views the system, you can gain much insight from it. You see, because he comes from a different place. I mean, so it says, Ata Yadata Yisra says, Ki Godor La Hashem Mikol Holayim, Ki Vadovar Shezodu Alayim. The whole pasuk is very difficult. What do you mean, Godor La Hashem Mikol Holayim? There is no other gods. I mean, what do you mean? He's greater than another god. What are we talking about? It's a. There's no other Elohim. There's nothing. So what does it mean? Okay. And then the last part of the pasuk, Ki Vadovar Shezodu Alehim. What does that mean? Ki Vadovar Shezodu Alehim. So the Tirgum Unkelus says, Ka'an Yedana. Are Rav Hashem. He says, he breaks it up. Ke'an yadana are Rav Hashem, that Hashem is great. The less Elo bar mine. There is no other God. Okay, I mean, but it's a deviation from the Lashon HaMikra. It's interesting. Rashi says, "Mikol ha'lehim." Rashi is malamed shayamakir b'chol avodah zarah shabaylam. Shloiniach avodah zarah shloavda. That he was mocking to every single avodah zarah. Okay, so then it makes the pasuk even more difficult. So what does it mean? Ati gati, God is greater than every avodah zarah. What does that mean? Yeah. So they're reminded of the famous of the Mishnah in avodah zarah, where the Mishnah Gemara says that one of the apocryphal masks, he said, a person is only envious of someone in his own rank. So I can say God is Kel Kana. So the Gemara says, no, you're making a mistake. It means that if a woman will be angry at her husband if the husband leaves her. But if the husband leaves her for a more beautiful woman, okay. But if he leaves her for nothing, then she'll really be angry. They say, Kel Kana means that God is angry because you left him for nothing. Yeah. So at any rate, so what does it mean? So according to Rashi, the kasha becomes even greater. That you lower the other avodah zarah, so the pasuk doesn't make any sense. And then he says like this. Then kivadova shezodu aleihem. So it says like this. Why? So here the Targum Onkelos learns Rashi in the same way. Because in the same way that the Egyptians tried to harm the Jews, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu judged them in the same way, because he destroyed them through the Yamsa, through the water. That's what Rashi says. He says, Kiterguma, Rashi says, B'mayim domu la'adom. Yeah, v'hem nevdu b'mayim. Kivadova shezodu aleihem. So they got back. It was me that connected me. Okay, I mean, so what is the meaning of the pasuk? Okay. Yeah, there's something else here. Very interesting, Ibn Ezra, in the end of the era. Very interesting, Ibn Ezra. It says like this. It says by the Barad, it says. In the Imam Tekes Barad Kalimar. Okay, so Barad was the Barad was a Makkah that was a whole gave a whole new dimension. So by Barad it says, yeah. So by Barad it says, by Barad it says like this. It says the pasuk says. Moshe Rabbeinu says, so Yishach Paro, Vayikra Moshe, is a whole new dimension. Makkas Bar was a very powerful, a whole new level in the Makkas. Okay. Because in the Mashiach's Koma, Gefosai Libcha. Yeah. Vchoba Mecha. So it says, Yishach Paro, Vayikra Moshe, Aaron. And you see that Paro over there did tshuva more than before. Chatosi Apom. He says, Adeshem Atzadik, Vani Vami Arashoyim. And then he says, "Ativu el Hashem, v'rav miyos koylois elokim uvarad, v'ashalcha eschem v'lasif lamar." Okay, so they did a tshuva. But then Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Okay, I'll be mispawel, but not in the city, only outside the city." Leman teida ki l'Hashem ha'aretz. That's the pasuk of the Rambam quotes. Leman teida ki l'Hashem ha'aretz. Then you should know that Ashgachas Hashem applies. He didn't deny the existence of God, but he denied the fact that that same God relates to man. So it says, "Laman teda ki l'Hashem ha'aretz," that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ashgacha relates to man as well. Now it says like this: it says, "Va'ato va'avodecho yodati ki terem tirum me'ad Hashem alikim." And Moshe Benes says, "And now I know, but you're not yet ready. Ki terem tirun me'ad Hashem alikim. You're saying this, but I know the fact is that this is just a momentary tshuva. It's not a real tshuva gemara. It's momentary. It's a hero tshuva. But the fact is, you're going to go back to your old ways. You see, you're not going. You're distant. Terem tirun. You're distant from the yira of Hashem Elokim." So the Ibn Ezra says an interesting thing over there. He says like this. He says on the pasuk Hatira Hashem. So the Ibn Ezra says Hiskir Hashem Hanichbad. Hashem HaNichbad is the Hashem HaVaya. Yud Kevavke. So So Shem Havaya is a different shame. Okay, it's like the Rambam explains. The Shem Havaya and the Ibn Ezra. Shem Havaya is the Ibn Ezra calls the Shem or Etzem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's the only shame that conveys Yediyas Hashem ba'atzmuso. The other shemos of God are only shemos that came into existence, like the Rambam said, with Briyas Olam. They're appellations, appellatives. In other words, they're descriptive. They're not derivatives. They're derivative of the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is noeg with the Neog HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it has nothing to do really with the idea, the Shemo Etzem. It's a different reference. It's a reference. Like, it's very interesting, but all the Shemos HaKadosh Baruch Hu really are borrowed Shemos. I mean, you say Elohim means Reinus HaTichalim L'Paro. This is not a shame. It's a shame that's borrowed. That Elohim means a powerful person, a master powerful person. So we say that idea really should be applied to God. It's really the shemos, all the other shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are bederach limud, really. They're didactic. They teach you, they guide you. That you have an idea of a master, that idea should be applied to God. You have an idea of a powerful force, Elohim, so that is only appropriate really to God. That's all the other shemos. But the Shem Havaya is the only shame, that's the Shem Oetzem. That's the only shame that conveys an idea of God himself, his existence, insofar as man is able to perceive it. Okay. So that's called the Shem Oetzem. Yeah. So the Ibn Ezra says when Paro said Hatira la Hashem, he says Hiskir Hashem Anichbad, but then in the next pasuk he says, the same pasuk, I'm sorry, Hatira la Hashem V'rav Mios Kolos Elokim Uvarad. Okay, so the Ibn Ezra says V'Omar Kolos Elokim. He says Ki Hu Modeh Sheyesh Elokim Kasher Hiskarti. Okay, so he goes back on what Paro's argument with Moshe Rabbeinu was. It wasn't that he denied that there's a God, but the idea wasn't a different idea. Okay. He says, Ubavur Shelo Omar Kolos Ad Hashem, since he didn't follow suit, he said, Atira Ad Hashem, and he should have said, Varav Mios Kolos Ad Hashem Uvar, but he switched. He said, Kolos Elokim. So he says that, Chiber Moshe Shemo Etzem Vatoah. So Moshe Rabbeinu himself was Machaber, combined the Shem Ho'etzem, which is the Shemo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shem Havaya, and the Shem HaToar, the descriptive form of Elokim. Okay? Because he said, V'ato v'avodecho yedati ki terem tirun mipnei ad Hashem Elokim. So he says, Moshe Rabbeinu did it because of the way Paro did it. He says, Vatam ki Hashem hu Elokim levado. Okay, so far no problem. But then he says something very strange. He says like this. He says, "V'lo simtza kocha b'divrei Moshe b'chol haTorah." You'll never find Moshe Rabbeinu say that anywhere else. Okay, he says, "And don't ask me a question from Veschanon, where it says Ad Hashem Elokim mata achilosa laharas as avdecha as gadlecha v'zircha." He says, "Why?" He says, "Ki ba'alav dalidu kasef." It doesn't say, it says Adni. Okay, it says the shame Adni. But it doesn't say Ad Hashem Elokim. It doesn't say Havaya Elokim. It says Adni Havaya. It's an interesting thing. Okay, it's an interesting thing. It says Adni Havaya, but it doesn't say Ad Hashem Elokim. It says Aleph Dalid. He says, so that's no kasha. Because Aleph Dalid you can combine with Elokim. But you can't combine Havaya and Elokim. That's what he said. It's hard to know what the Ibn Ezra is talking about. Stam. And besides, the Pasuk itself, many Pesukim do combine it. For instance, if you have in the beginning of Bereshis.